My job is to make my kids money and to have a business that my kids can inherit if they choose to.
Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with professional photographer Brent Watkins. His specialties include event, commercial, and portrait photography. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shamira. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. The sun is out here in Michigan, which we don't take that for granted. So I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. We don't take it for granted here in Ohio either.
Oh yeah, next door neighbors.
Yes, we are.
Well, you know, Brent, I'm so excited to chat with you. Because you have extensive knowledge, not just in photography, but business, which is the whole reason why I started this podcast. That's the juicy stuff. And also the stuff that many photographers and creatives in general struggle with. So I know you're an expert, and I am so excited. But first, I would like the listening audience to get to know a bit about you in case they haven't heard about you. So, could you give us an overview of yourself and your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Sure. It's a long story. I don't know how exciting it is. But I'm about 20 years into the business at this point. I first started when I was in high school. I worked at the studio I'll talk about the studio. That's the studio that I own. Carrying boxes, because everybody should start by carrying boxes places, I think. I ran their darkroom. We did our own color dark lab printing. I went to college for photojournalism. I left the studio and struck out on my own, did commercial work for a number of years, bought a commercial studio, and then went back to the family business, where my wife was the primary senior portrait photographer, and I came back into the fold, integrated the commercial and portrait sides together, and I took over day-to-day operations about 8 years ago as full-time studio manager. So that's a quick rundown on me. Other than that, I'm a board member for Professional Photographers of Ohio, on the advisory board for my buddy Skip Cohen's Skip Cohen University. Or the student council, I guess I should say. And I speak and I teach, but that's me in a nutshell. Married, I have 3 kids. That's what keeps me busy.
Excellent. So it sounds like it's in your blood then.
It is a little bit.
So were your parents photographers?
No, actually. It's a long, convoluted story that's on our website if you want to go read it. But it turns into the crazy aunt and uncle who didn't have any kids for the business, and I kind of got adopted in, and then my wife started working there independently, and she and I met because of the studio. We got married because of the studio, and when they were ready to retire, it's not like there were really questions about how things were going to work. So that's where it comes from. But we claim all the history of the business, and I've been working there since I was a junior in high school, and so that's a little more than 20 years ago for me.
My goodness. And just looking at your website, because I did look you up, of course, on your... I had to check out your website. Not
well,
stalking,
you should.
Just research.
No, you can stalk. That's okay.
Oh, and it on the homepage, it looks beautiful. Beautiful. The inside of the studio with the
Thank
wood
you.
And everything. Quite nice.
Yeah, we are very blessed. There's no question.
So what type of work do you guys do in the studio? Like, what's the highest volume that you get?
Our largest volume is high school senior portraits.
Okay.
We do a lot of senior portraiture. We photograph about 200 seniors a year.
Very nice. Very nice. And how do you get yourself and your clients inspired for a photo shoot?
All right. Well, that's a good question. For ourselves, honestly, for ourselves, we put it on our calendar. this is our job. Our job is to be great every time we step behind the camera. So I don't want to say inspiration's not important, but to some degree, it's what we do. It's our job.
Mm-hmm.
As to our clients, now they need to be very excited, and
right.
they are. Generally, when they come to us, they have heard of us before. As I mentioned, we are a generational studio, so we've been in our town for 70 years. We're coming into our 70th birthday. So we're generally known, which is nice. But The experience. The reason our website opens with a tour of our studios is because we want people to see, first, the amazing space we get to live and work in.
Mm-hmm.
But second, that we really do this for a living. And third, honestly, people walk into the studio and they know they're going to spend money. Mm-hmm. And that's important because we've established a, I don't want to say a price point, but we've put, they know they're not going to walk away for Walmart prices.
Right, right.
And through the marketing and the website, and we are very involved in community events and things. And when our kids come to us, they're excited to be there.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
And then customer service. From the time they walk in the door, you offer them a drink, a water or a coffee, a gift bag, a goodie bag in the dressing room, making them feel special all the way through the appointment is the most important part of, honestly, getting more clients because they're going to tell two friends.
And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that as far as the experience and making them feel special, because I think it can be easy to get caught up in the photography, which is important. It's very, very important, of course, taking great photos, but the whole experience of the client and making them feel comfortable and excited and having them walk out of your doors wanting to tell other people about you guys.
No, you're exactly right. It's great portrait photography's super important, but I should also say, if you're a professional, I think it should be expected. People should expect to walk in and leave with a good portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And if they expect a good portrait from any professional, what's your differentiator?
Right.
And at that point, it has to be, in our case, experience. You'll see on all of our marketing materials for our seniors, the hashtag Silvart Experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's hashtag Silvart Experience. We put that on everything we do because we have a different experience than anyone else does.
Excellent. Excellent. And in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out, or even a great photo, stand out from an average photo?
I think it's all got to be lighting and posing.
Hmm.
I don't have any question about that. Great lighting and posing, it will flatter your subject. It'll convey an amount of emotion, but it will make them the very best version of themselves right in camera.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, you go to Lightroom or Photoshop or any post-production. If it's well lit and well posed, it will look different than what they see on Instagram, what they see on Twitter, what they see everywhere else. And they're going to go, wow, that's different. And I know when I was in journalism school, they taught us the 3-second rule. And if you're a magazine photographer, you know that already. People flip through a magazine and your image has 3 seconds to hold their eye mm-hmm. before they flip the page.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a great image, they're going to look longer. They might read the article that's next to it. So a great photo is something that where people are scrolling through their Instagram feed and they stop and go, ooh, wow. And that's what we try to provide.
And the reason I ask this question, that's a great answer, by the way, is because we are flooded with images on a daily basis. Like
oh,
you mentioned,
goodness.
Instagram, Facebook, even billboards driving down the highway. It's like you can't get away from it. And so more and more, it's important for us as photographers and creatives to understand why a photo was great versus why a photo was average. And it's wonderful that you can articulate that, for sure. I think the average person, and when I say average, I mean non-photographer, they see a photo, they may not know why they like it, but they may feel it. You know, it's what makes them stop, that whole 3-second rule. But as photographers, we do need to be able to articulate that and then replicate it in our own work.
Oh, you're exactly right. And I would say that you're right. We are inundated with images, but it's the fast food of images.
Yeah.
We see so few really striking great images anymore, but see images everywhere. And talking about billboards, we do billboard campaigns. It's something I got from Bruce Berg out in Portland, who's a good guy, where you do a... Anyway, it's his program. You can look it up. But it's... So we have a billboard that has our images on it. And people drive by and they say, ooh, that looks different. And kids fight to be on there. We have mall displays with stunning images instead of the stuff that's even on display at the other retailers in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that we have a retail space in the mall, but we have a display right next to our Starbucks in our mall. And
good spot.
It is a good spot. And it treats us well. But you have to show things that other people can't do.
Definitely. Absolutely. And now next, I would like to lightly touch on the tools of the trade. I believe, my personal belief is that in order to have a successful photography business, the gear that you're using doesn't carry all the weight. meaning the equipment that you're using won't make or break you. I don't think it's the most important thing, I should say. But I do like to touch on the gear that you are using. So would you share with us your typical go-to gear for a photo shoot?
Absolutely. If it's a location event, I guess it depends on what the shoot is. The British have a saying, they say horses for courses, where it depends on what you're going to, what equipment you should take with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everything's universal. In our studio, we are largely Canon shooters.
Mm-hmm.
5D Mark IIIs, 70 to 200s, all day, every day. Mm. Those, they're fabulous. When I go on location, it's either that or I have recently become in love with some of the Lumix cameras that are great. A couple of lights, 2 to 5 lights in any assignment case, anything I might need, and most of it's going to stay in the truck. I take a lot of equipment expecting to never have to use it. But, you know, the old saying that luck always favors the well-prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been doing this too long to be caught without equipment. So anytime I go on site, usually it's 2 rolling cases and a work bag for my shoulder.
Wow.
Now, wow. Of those 2 rolling cases, one stays in the car.
Okay.
You know, the backup camera stays in the car. The, mm-hmm. You know, you only take in what you need to carry. But it's a couple lights, camera, and modifiers for those lights.
So have you ever had any instances where you've been caught, say you're on assignment and you get caught without, or one of your camera bodies goes down or anything like that?
Absolutely. Hmm. It happens. And usually when that happens, I go get the backup camera.
There you go.
I've had that happen. All right, so here's a story. It happened to me last spring doing a location senior session at their school stadium. For whatever reason, my 5D3 and lights wouldn't sync up. I couldn't get anything to work, and the camera locked up.
Wow.
So I went to my little Lumix LX100, mm-hmm. which is looks like a point-and-shoot camera, but it's great. And it synchronizes at any speed with your flash. And I did some of the best stuff I think I shot last year during that session because some of the gear went away.
No kidding.
But it's all about knowing your gear and being able to roll into another situation.
So what's your favorite photography accessory other than your camera and why?
If I had to, I would say lighting modifiers.
Hmm. Okay.
Reflectors or softboxes. Love softboxes. A big 4x6 is a great, great thing to have. You know the old joke about being an available light photographer means you'll use any light that's available? I am that guy. I will use, you know, the lamps in the room. I'll bring them in so that they glow in the background a little bit. Windows, reflectors, whatever lets you control the light, lets you define what's important in the image.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can isolate your subject. With enough light, I can take sunset portraits at noon. I can turn gray skies blue. The old saying that with enough light, you can turn a black wall white or a white wall black, both true things. So what I can do with light is remove my subject from the elements that are around them.
So it's like a superhero power.
It is. I tell you what, if I could have one superpower, I would be able to control the light.
Well, like you said, it's the knowledge of lighting, and you mentioned posing earlier as well, but lighting that really helps us stand out from everybody else, actually knowing how to use light.
It's the biggest trick in your bag. If you can start creating drama with light, I did a shoot about 2 weeks ago. For a girl, she wanted a couple stage shots, and we had the stage, but we didn't have control of any of the theatrical lighting or anything.
Hmm.
And I had 3 speed lights with me, so I put one into a soft lighter, and I boomed it over her head. So it was this beautiful downlight with a kicker coming from behind with one, and one gelled red throwing across her the back of the theater curtain. And, oh my goodness, it's a gorgeous print, and she's going to get a big wall portrait from it.
Oh, but, that's...
So it went from very flat to... Wow, this looks great, just by being able to control the light in the room.
And, you know, full disclosure, it took me years to move beyond natural lighting. And I think this is a lot of people where, you know, I would say, oh, I'm a natural light photographer, which meant that I didn't know how to use anything else.
That's
and it changed my work completely when I finally started to learn. So those of you who are listening, I highly encourage you to learn how to control your light, or at least begin the process, right? I mean, you can start with one light and then go up to two and take it from there. It doesn't have to be overwhelming, and it's so much fun.
It's true. And it doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, the lights that I'm using off camera now are probably the least expensive lights I've ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some of the speed lights. The Godox stuff is great. It's all manual, which is what I want it to be. And just learn. Start with one light. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Graduate up to a second light, and then you'll never light without two lights again. But... but yeah, it doesn't have to be expensive, but that's the first place people should emphasize on improving their work is improving their lighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's touch on your post-production workflow. So can you describe to us what your workflow is like as far as organization and software after a photo shoot?
Oh, sure. It's largely Lightroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people would probably give that answer. I love and hate Lightroom, I'll be honest. Lightroom is very much built for a single photographer, and we use it in a studio setting, which is harder for us. I had a conversation at a convention with Julianne Cost, who's on the Lightroom team, and she said, if you could make one upgrade, and she asked the room, what would it be? And I said, I want multi-seat user licensing, because I have three machines running Lightroom all the time,
mm-hmm.
and sharing catalogs is not really possible. We hacked it. People can contact me if they want to know how.
Ooh.
But it's a pain, but it's great. It's the best tool for the job because we don't spend a lot of time in Photoshop. We don't do a lot of retouching. Our mm-hmm. images are pretty much set out of camera. That's what people tend to see. Now, beyond Lightroom, I love Photo Mechanic. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of that before,
yes.
It is what I love to use to pick any large event. If it's more than 50 images, I don't put it in Lightroom. I put it in Photo Mechanic. Because it's so blindingly fast to make your picks. I can cull down, I can put metadata on images faster in that, and then that all transfers into Lightroom, mm-hmm. which is nice. So yeah, absolutely Photo Mechanic for that. Into Lightroom then, the color tweaking, make something black and white, apply curves, adjustments, and whatnot. Then we generate previews for our clients.
That's great. That's great. And workflow is so important.
Workflow is where you live or die, because no one makes money sitting in front of a computer.
Absolutely not. And if you spend too much time in front of a computer, it can suck the joy out of your life, actually.
Well, not only that, I mean, suck the joy out of your life and suck all the profit out of your business.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
When I mentor younger photographers, and I do, the first thing I ask them is, what are you doing for yourself that you should be outsourcing to your lab?
Because
your lab's your partner. And they want you to make more money, and they want you to shoot more, so you buy more from them. And there are services out there that can take a lot of that post-production headache away from you that seems expensive when you do the math up front until you realize what you should be paying yourself.
Yeah.
And then you realize, wow, I just spent 3 hours extracting images, and I could have spent $40 to have somebody do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a worthwhile thing for people to look into.
I was talking to a photographer on the show, and of course, I can't remember which one it was, but she was saying that she's a wedding photographer, and mm-hmm. before she began outsourcing her work, she would try to do it all herself, and she'd be up late nights, and she got to the point where she'd be in tears, trying to finish editing all of her photos, and she finally decided to hire someone to do it for her, so to outsource that portion, which... I think a lot of photographers kind of get a little bit nervous about that, you know, handing your work off to someone else to finish it up. And they worry, well, will it be in my style and will it look like my work? And it absolutely can. She ended up hiring somebody local in her town and they trained that person to work in their style. And it was great. But there are services online. Photographers Edit. They are one that comes to mind. And they're not paying me to say this, by the way. But even looking at the turnaround time compared to the prices, I've actually signed up and I still have yet to send in some test photos, but it's absolutely possible more and more today to outsource that portion.
It absolutely is. And even in the last 3 years, these companies have come a huge way in the last 3 years because I've generally employed people to do that for us
mm-hmm.
at the studio. And now photographer's edit is one. I think there's shoot.edit out there, and the ones I use are Ribuku.
Yeah,
That's Ty Fisher's company. Ty's someone you should have on the show. He's a great guy.
Make a note of that.
Yeah, and Retouch Up also. I know the first time I started with simple extraction work for some posters that we do, and it came back, and I'm like, because I hate extracting. I hate it. And I sent it off, and I got it back, and I'm like, wow, that was $2.
Wow.
And it was done in 24 hours.
Life changing.
It was mind blowing. And you know, when your production timeline gets too cramped, and I know there are people who are, and we're some of those people. We have a very particular look and style.
Mm-hmm.
We've taught them what that is. And when we can't do it in house, our overflow work gets sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a great job, you know, and that's the first thing I would say when you get bogged down in business, the first thing you should be sending out is the stuff your lab can probably do better than you can.
Yeah. 'Cause that's how you build a sustainable business, right?
Exactly. You have to be able to scale. Everybody wants to make it big as a photographer. Also, people think that every photographer is rich, which is not true. But
I wish.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Everybody wants more business. And I say, okay, so if tomorrow your wish were granted and you doubled the size of your business, how would you cope?
Right. Are you prepared?
Yeah. And the answer is absolutely not. Everything would break. And until you have your process is sufficiently streamlined, you won't be able to scale because you're too busy trying to frame a print for a customer that's coming to pick it up this afternoon because you weren't ahead of the game on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Brent, that was an excellent segue into the business conversation of photography. So let's hang out there for a while. Let's talk about running a photography business. So what's been the most challenging aspect of running a business, in your opinion? And then how did you overcome that?
The most challenging aspect of running a business is running a business.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think that's a question. Being a good photographic technician is the easy part to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. We have a photography business, and everybody focuses on photography. But the truth is, business is the most important part of that statement. You know, your business is what pays your bills. It puts your kids through college. It pays your employees. It covers insurance. It does all of the things that you have to do to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And business is hard. I'm not going to pretend that it's not hard. We need to resist the urge to run to the fun stuff and actually sit down. And we're artists, and that means we're right-brained, and we don't want to think about profit and loss statements and bottom lines and accounting and marketing and phone calls and employee management.
Mm-hmm.
And people are tensing up as I'm saying this. People are in the car going, I don't want to hear about this right now.
Breaking out in hives over here.
It's true. But this is the part that everyone should listen to. I mean, over and over, I will say that. And I'll say that for the new people out there, or the people that are thinking of having a photography business, the first thing I tell everyone who wants to have a photography business is I say first, you need to be a good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take a dime from anybody until you can produce a good image.
Hmm.
Because you don't get to practice on clients, and you cannot learn how to run a business at the same time you're trying to learn how to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That is too much.
Hmm.
Be a good technician first, and then learn the business stuff. Or if you already know the business stuff, learn how to be a good technician. But don't try and do it all at one time, because you'll lose your mind and you'll burn out in 3 years and you'll go out of business.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yes. And I think many people stepping into it, they think that they'll be taking more photos if they decide to transition over and make a go of it as far as running a business. They think that if they're getting paid for it, then they'll be taking more and more photos as opposed to working the business side.
Right.
And, you know, I found with me, I wish I were taking photos all day. But what I find myself doing is business stuff. All of yesterday, my entire workday actually was administrative stuff that I had to do for the business. But that's what happens when you're running a business. You have the business side of it.
I am more of a business person than a photographer nowadays. And that makes me sad. And I do love the days where I actually get to go shoot, and I get to shoot events, and I get to go do fun, the things that I think are fun. But honestly, I've been doing that for so long that I just go into go mode when I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the business stuff that, oh my goodness, the phone rang again. You know, this business would be easy if it wasn't for all the darn clients. people calling, oh, I need a this, I want a that. How do I schedule an appointment? It's amazing how much of your day gets taken up with phone calls.
Yes.
Which it should, because that means your marketing's working when your phone is ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Who should be answering your phone? Maybe that's another question in the way you should speak on the phone. I could do a whole podcast about that with you if you want. But
future episode.
There you go. But it's the business part that lets you go have fun on the days you get to shoot. When I did a lot more commercial work, this was 10, 15 years ago. Most commercial photographers will tell you they get to shoot about 10 days a month. The rest of the month is business.
Wow.
Or production or delivery or sales. But if you could book 10 billable days, that's why a commercial day rate used to be $3,500. Because you could do 10 of those in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out, you know, everybody thinks, oh, I could shoot all day, every day. That's not how it works, you know. So, but that goes into cost and pricing and, again, probably another show.
And, you know, you mentioned the ringing phone. Scott Bourne and Skip Cohen were talking about this on a recent podcast of theirs for Photo Focus. And they spent a segment talking about how you should actually answer your phone, which is something you think it'd be a given, right? If you're running a photography business and a client calls you, that you would answer your phone. But apparently that is not the norm with a lot of small photography businesses. It's to the point where on business cards and marketing material and brochures, photographers are not even necessarily leaving their phone number on the brochure or on the business card. And they think, well, yeah, they'll get a bunch of phone calls and they won't have a chance to get work done, so they just prefer people to reach out to them by email. Well, it was either Scott or Skip that said, well, is that such a bad thing? If clients are calling you to book appointments and schedule shoots, is that really such a bad thing? So I just wanted to go on that rant. And, you know, it's when your phone rings, you have to answer it. I mean, people want to talk to a person, right? And you want to strike while the iron is hot, as it is. So
you're exactly right. And most of the people who are spending the money grew up before texting. They want to call someone, especially if they're going to spend a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you decide what a significant amount of money is. I've had customers that think that that's $200. I've had customers think that that's $2,200.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to talk to a person on the phone. And every time my phone rings, and it's a joke in the office because we all do it, we're all working on whatever, and the phone rings, and we all go, ugh. And then you put on your, you know, your big girl panties and you say,
right.
All right, now I smile. I answer the phone. How can I help you today? Oh, I need to book an appointment or I'm interested in. And almost every time that somebody cold calls us, we book an appointment and it takes 17 minutes.
Mm.
It's 15 to 22 minutes every time it's a real client. And we have them booked at the end of that phone call. And that's 22 minutes.
Right. Totally worth it.
But that's a client that's going to spend $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think of it that way, because if you don't answer your phone, they're going to call the next person and they will answer their phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where, again, being a real business, there are more photographers today than there ever have been. And people say to me, how do you compete? And one of the answers is I answer my phone.
If you're looking for a way to speed up your workflow and quickly take your photos to the next level, check out the professional Lightroom presets we're offering on ProPhotographerJourney.com. With a single click, use these presets as a solid starting point when editing your photos, and then customize each Lightroom effect to your liking. Your friends, family, and clients will be amazed at your photos. These preset styles include soft and subtle, all the way to dramatic and edgy. Just head to ProPhotographerJourney.com and check it out. And another thing I want to mention, you mentioned the word photo technician. As soon as you said technician, that made me think of The E-Myth Revisited, the book by Michael Gerber. Have you read that book?
That's where the term came from. I stole it completely from him.
It's excellent. I read that book last summer when I should have read it probably about 10 years ago.
And that was a lie. I read The E-Myth, not the Revisited version.
But yes,
that's where that comes from. And everyone should go read that book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll link to it in the show notes. I'm sure I've linked to it before, but it can't hurt to do it again because it opened up my mind, actually, reading that book. I remember I was reading it in the car as I was driving somewhere and like 4-hour drive, and I pop it in, and the guy had I think it was Michael reading the audiobook.
I did the audiobook as well. Yes.
Oh, did? Okay. Yeah. I did. It was excellent. Excellent reading voice. And, as I'm reading it, listening to it, I almost wanted to cry because it's like he was describing me. So for those who haven't read the book, the basic premise is he describes the life cycle of a woman who likes to make pies, I believe. And she's really good at it. And her friends are telling her, oh, you're so great at baking. You should open a bakery and make pies professionally. And she's like, yes, I should. Because, I don't know, she's picturing rainbows and unicorns and it's going to be great baking all day. And
as everyone does.
Yes, absolutely. Especially with photography. Mm-hmm. And she opens a bakery and she finds that she's working herself to death and staying up all night. And not only is she making these pies, but there's the whole business side of everything. And she's running herself and the business into the ground. And so from there, Michael kind of picks it up and he comes in to mentor her. I don't want to give everything away. People need to go out and read it.
Go read it. You should stop right there. That's a tease.
Right. Okay. Well, he helps her turn the business around in a way that changes her life. And it can change yours too. It changed mine, that's for sure.
And I tell you what, it changed the way I do business too. Mm. It is a fabulous book. And I'll tell you what I got out of it. Because like I said, I work with a lot of photographers and we all tend to think the same thing in this industry is, oh, but we're different. Nobody would ever do, you know, if you're not part of this industry, you don't get it. Mm. And I guess the other thing I want to tell photographers is you're not special.
Hmm.
This is business. And business has been happening for a very long time. The pie industry and the photography industry are the same thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From some respects. Again, you should be great at what you do. But running a business, everybody thinks, well, my industry is different, so this would never work for me. It will absolutely work for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, blocking and tackling, doing all the right jobs, it will absolutely work for you.
Definitely. Definitely. And so, Brent, could you tell us what have you found to be the most effective techniques as far as bringing in new clients for your business?
All right. So let me ask a question back. Are you talking about new clients or new business? Because I find the best way to get more business is to mine my old clients.
You know, that is such a great point, actually. And I would say either or, okay, or both.
Well, for previous clients first, they've had an amazing experience with you.
Mm-hmm.
They have with us. So they said, this was great. This was fabulous. I have another child graduating in 2 years. We'll be back for then. We have a family session we want to do. First, when they say those things, track those things, contact them, give them an opportunity to work with you again. Second, if someone's already spent money with you, they are predisposed to spend money with you again.
Yes.
So do not undervalue your previous client base. Beyond that, I already mentioned that we have a display in the mall and we do some billboards because we do. Direct mail. Man, direct mail still works. For me, I purchase a mailing list. Mm-hmm. We send out postcards 6 times a year. It's really expensive, but it's effective. You know, it's not something everybody can do, but you could certainly, I would never say do a single postcard campaign because that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Postcards, you have to do several. It's water on a rock. The first two aren't effective. The next three are effective. Because you've established yourself as a real presence at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But direct mail works great for us. Big, showy displays work for us, you know, because we're selling an experience. Again, you know, there's a reason my display in my mall is within viewing distance of Buckle and Starbucks and the Apple Store and Victoria's Secret and the Pink Store and the Gap.
Mm. Yeah.
I picked that spot. Yes, it is expensive, but you can do it on a smaller scale. Younger photographers, people that don't have a marketing budget yet, you have to be where your clients are. You have to be in front of the people who you want to sell things to, which actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into a little bit of a tangent.
Go right ahead.
About people who say, well, I can't, who want to shoot for free or no money for an event, for the experience, or to build their book. And I'm going to say, anything you shoot for free or no money will not translate to a high dollar client, and you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't want this to sound wrong, but the VFW hall with the folding chairs is not something that aren't covered. No table covers, no specialty linens, not the environment you're going to be working in. You can't go show that to a $5,000 or $10,000 bride.
That's a great point. Yeah.
That never transitions up. You can't scale up no money work. You just can't do it. So establish your pricing and correct pricing up front, and then go work to live with it. Everybody's going to complain about price. Let them complain about a high price instead of a low price.
So do you get people who complain about your price?
Every day. That's how I know I'm priced the right way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they stop, I raise prices.
There you go.
Because I absolutely have clients who can't afford us. Mm-hmm. They call and they're like, oh, what do I get for this? What do I get for that? Well, this is my session fee. What do I get for that? That's the session fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a minimum order. You can purchase as much as you like. I've had people come in and say, I can't afford it. Well, we offer layaway. We offer payment plans. We'll do whatever works for you. Really? Yeah. I have a family with I have a print on my wall, a beautiful 24 by 24 metal print that has been hanging in my studio for 18 months that the family is going to finish paying off next month and take home.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so important to them that they said, can I do $50 a month?
Wow.
Am I going to tell them no when they love my work so much they're willing to wait to have it? Never. Never in a million years would I tell them no.
And that's such a great point, because I think many photographers shrink away from pricing. And it seems, at least what I've noticed here in Michigan, my neck of the woods, people start off shooting for free by default. And
here
I think in Ohio as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when it's time to have that conversation about money, eventually they find it hard to even start that conversation with clients. And it's a real pain point, I think.
It is. It's hard, and it's because people fear the business portion.
Yeah.
But once you discover how much money you need to make to stay in business, it's much easier to tell people what you charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a beautiful studio space. We have, you know, employees. We have insurance. I did the math, and I know I need to make $300 every hour my studio is open if I'm going to break even.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have to make. So if somebody says, can you do this for $100? I said, I can't lose $200 on you. I'm right. Sorry, no.
Yeah.
I know what my cost is.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
makes it much easier to give answers.
And also, I want to circle back just real quick. You mentioned keeping your old clients.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge. This is where I think many of us drop the ball. And like it's, you said, yes. People who have spent money on you, and assuming they like you and they like the experience, hopefully love the experience that they had, they're far more willing to spend money on you again as opposed to trying to get somebody from scratch. So are you able to, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot and that I did not include this question in the questions that I sent you, but could you share some of the ways that you're keeping in touch with your old clients? Like, how do you keep your clients coming back?
All right. So getting clients to come back, a couple things. First, they have to have a knockdown, fabulous experience up front, because my sales cycle for most, let me talk about our wheel. If I say we start with senior portraits, after a girl's a high school senior, and I'm talking about girls with senior portraits too. There are fabulous guys out there. Guys, if you're listening, you're great. 7 out of 10 of my clients are girls.
Hmm.
Because they care more about pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Those girls in 7 to 10 years are going to be brides. I have a very high follow-through rate on girls that become brides calling the studio. Now, whether they can afford me or not is different, but they call. Those brides in 1 to 3 years is going to have a baby. And we do children's portraits too. That baby is going to be photographed 5 times before they're in school. That is your money, kids. That client could come to me 7 times in 10 years.
Nice.
and spend decent money every time. So how do we stay in touch? This is hard. And there's not a great solution to this right now. I hope someday there will be. It's hard for all of us. Email addresses change like socks. So email's not a great answer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mailings are better. Our Facebook page is actually good for retention for us. Because especially a mom. Because moms and then grandmothers are the ones who tend to be the driving impetus a lot of times for people coming to a studio.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma wants pictures. Grandma wants pictures. Fine. Grandma bought us a gift certificate for pictures. I guess we should go use it. And moms tend to still live in Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good referral source for us. But mailings, Christmas cards. Our studio sends out a Christmas card every year. Now, we do mass mailings during the year, too. It makes sense for us to do a mailing at we send out a Christmas card because my wife and I are Christians and we believe in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we send a Christmas card. And I have friends that send me Hanukkah cards and everything else, and that's fabulous. But we send that out, and people get it, and it doesn't have an ad on it. Don't make it an ad.
Right.
Make it a genuine well-wishing. You guys are great. Thank you so much. Every senior session I do, I give a family portrait session with it. As long as they take advantage of it during a specified period of time when I know I'm slow, they can come back to the studio for a standard family session. Now they always say, ooh, can we upgrade this to a location session? Sure you can. It's just an additional fee, whatever. Make them get a family session. We get a decent response on that. Calling people, seeing how they're doing, being active in your community. People will see you over and over again every year. And they say, I still need to come in for a family photo. And I say, I'm still here for you whenever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be involved. You have to be seen. You know, and even at the store, I've had families book appointments at the grocery store. You know, now my answer to that is always, all right, that's great. I can't do a day because I need to have my calendar and I'm not at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll call you on Monday. And then we call them on Monday. Do what you say you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
I know. But it's work drives more work. The busier you are, the busier you will be. Now, as long as you can be productive in addition to busy, then you're going to be fine.
Right. Yeah, because there is a difference.
There is a difference. Did that answer your question, Sharon?
That did. Thank you for sharing those strategies. I just wanted to elaborate, or have you elaborate on that a bit more, because I think too many times we're so focused on getting new clients that we kind of forget the old ones that have already chosen to invest in us.
That's it.
And it can revolutionize your business to have your old clients come back and turn them into repeat clients.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Great. Now let's touch on some lessons that you've learned over your years in business. What's been the most common mistake that you see professional photographers make, or maybe that you yourself have made? And I always want to clarify that I'm not picking on anybody. I just think that we can learn from each other's mistakes.
Well, let's pick on everybody. I tell you, the biggest mistake I see most photographers make is trying to be the one who sells their own work. Because we're artists and we want everyone's approval. And we say, isn't this gorgeous? Please love me and love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you guys so much. And I'm so emotionally attached to you after this beautiful session we just had. I will happily sell you my wall portrait at 10%.
Oh, dear.
Don't find someone who's good at sales and let them sell your work for you. And you will make a lot more money.
So
that's for most people. And that's just my recommendation for most photographers, because most people are terrified of having a sales session.
Okay.
Most people don't sell their own work. I mean, photographers do because we're backwards. But in other industries, no car salesman made the car.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Your waitress at the, you know, at Emerald's restaurant did not make the steak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will the chef come out to the table and talk to you before it's done? Yes, they will at a good quality restaurant like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you should talk to your client too. These were so fabulous. I just want to make sure you love everything. Now, Susie is going to take care of making sure you get the pieces on your walls that you would love to have. You guys have a great day. And then go shoot something else while someone's selling for you.
Sounds lovely.
And pay them commission. So the more they sell, the more money they make.
So do you have dedicated salespeople then at your studio?
Yes and no. I will be honest, I am the dedicated salesperson at my studio.
Okay.
At this point. My photographers do not sell what they shoot because I would go out of business. Terri Ann, my wife, is a fabulous portrait photographer, and most of the senior work you see on our website is hers.
Okay.
She's incredibly good. She's a better pure portrait photographer than I am. I'll say that up front. She has the awards to prove it. She can't sell.
Okay.
And her trying to sell is a mistake. Because she can take an order, somebody comes in and knows exactly what they want, but she will never, and I'm not saying to be pushy with people, but she's not going to say, all right, so you're 11 by 14. Do we want to upgrade that to a custom frame? Do we want to? No. Have you made sure you thought about grandma and grandpa? What about uncle, whoever? You know, these people are all important. What are we giving them? 8x10s or 5x7s? Or wall portraits? Do we need to add on a wallet tin? What about a this? What about a that? This is a great piece. I see mom looking at these two wall portraits. Which one does she like better? I think she should like the more expensive one better.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that's what she should like more. Because this is my job. My job is to make my kids money and to have a business that my kids can inherit if they choose to. They're not required to. I have three kids. My son, my oldest, has no desire to be part of the business.
Okay.
Maybe one of my daughters will. And if they choose not to, that's fine. But it's my job to make sure it's there if they want it. And if I don't do good in sales, if I'm not selling well, that won't be there. And I'll be working some other job.
Right. That's what makes or breaks a business.
Yes, it absolutely is.
It's like no matter how wonderful your photos are, now, if you're not getting money in exchange for them, then you can't stay in business.
And I have had dedicated sales staff in the past. And usually it's, I'll tell you what works well for me, is an older mother or a grandmother who has found value in our work and loves what we do. You can find, everybody's willing to sell stuff. Look how many people sell jewelry or sell everything. All these pyramid schemes that are out there, you know, or maybe they're based on a trapezoid. I'm not going to judge. But people are willing to do sales, and some people are very, very good at it. If you know somebody who sells Mary Kay or 21 or whatever the other, you know, there's a lot of those
out there.
There's
a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them.
Somebody who's really good at that, maybe you should hire them to do a few sales sessions for you or train them a couple of times to do a sales session for you and tell them, I'll pay you $10 an hour plus 10%.
Now, see, there's a great affordable way to get started right there. Because I think most people who are afraid of hiring an outside person to sell their work, they think, well, where do I find this person? You know, I mean, is it, like you mentioned, someone who believes in your work? Or do you put an ad out on Craigslist? Or, you know, this person with a question mark in front of their face, like, how do you go about, what's the first step? So like you said, I guess just looking within your own circle then, to begin with.
I would always start that way, to be honest. Especially, they would have to have been a client or somebody who I know personally. Because they're going to represent my studio now. They're wearing the name badge. Their name tag has my studio's name on it.
Yeah, that's huge.
So it's really important. I'm not going to say hiring is something you can do willy-nilly, because it's not. But you can hire. You don't have to be the best at everything that happens in your business. I should never be anyone's accountant, and that's why I pay an accountant. I should never be anyone's attorney. I pay an attorney. If you're not doing those things, are you an accountant? Are you an attorney? If the answer is no, hire one. Same reason I tell my attorneys and my lawyers that are clients, are you a photographer? No. That's why you're hiring me. I'm a professional. You're a professional. I'm good at what I do. It's your job to be good at what you do.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. If only I could have had this conversation about 12 years ago. 10, 12 years ago.
All of us. All of us.
Right? Well, that's why I love this podcast, because we're learning from each other.
Oh, absolutely. You only learn from other people.
Yeah.
That's when I go to convention, the programs are great, but I learn more from my friends or people in the business than I ever do sitting in a program. It's people who are having the same problem you have, where you sit at convention and, like I said, I'm on the board for my state organization. We do two conventions a year and then a couple smaller events. And it's the hallway conference where me and four or five buddies who see each other a couple times a year, we sit around and go, hey, what are you doing for this? I don't have a good solution. Oh, I love what I'm using here. Really?
Yeah.
They're a real photographer. That's a real endorsement. You know what? I'm probably just going to go do what they said. Because they're smart and I trust them and I respect them. You need friends in the business like that. Not... And internet friends are great, and I'm on a lot of Facebook groups and things, but you need real people in your life who are part of the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. So could you share with us what's one thing you wish you knew before you stepped into photography professionally?
Oh, I wish I'd have gotten a business degree instead of a photography degree. That's the truth. It's the business is the important part. Read every book about business you possibly can. And just because somebody wrote it down doesn't mean that it's canon, doesn't mean that it's perfect. It means it works for them. But decide what works for you. But yeah, being a better business person, photography has to be important. I know a lot of people who are mediocre photographers and good business people who have thriving businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I know fabulous photographers who can't get paid to sit in somebody to do anything because they don't understand how business works.
So you mentioned that we should be reading any books that we can get our hands on as far as business goes. Are there any particular photography resources, books, tools, online courses that you would recommend to help our listeners with learning the business side?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I would recommend for learning business is join your state organization, NPPA. And WPPI too. I shouldn't give them short shrift. But your state organization is hugely important because those personal relationships I was talking about, that's where you find them. And if your state doesn't have a good organization, come to Ohio. Ours is doing fine. And I have people that travel from out of state for our conventions all the time.
No kidding.
Yeah, wow. We draw from up by you, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Indiana. Go to a state convention and talk to people. And go a couple times, because the first time everybody's new and they're like, oh, somebody should talk to me. We have a reputation for being friendly. We want people to join us.
Mm-hmm.
But get involved. Volunteer at an organization. That's how you meet people. That's how you get to talk to the presenters and you learn that they're people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So go to real events and talk to real people and be friends with those real people. I mean, Creative Live is great. Lynda.com is great. You can find good stuff there. As to books, we talked about The E-Myth. That's a great book. Mm-hmm. Everybody should read that. There's a customer service book that I recommend to everyone over and over. It's by a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Gittimer. If you've never read it, it's probably about 15 years old now, but it still applies.
Hmm.
It's called Customer Satisfaction is Worthless and Customer Loyalty is Priceless.
Awesome. Wow.
I don't know if it's still in print or not, but boy, go find it. Steal it if you have to. It's an easy read. I probably reread it every 2 years. It's just brilliant.
Now, could you give us that title one more time? Customer Service is Worthless.
It's actually on my bookshelf, so I'm going to reach back and grab it. Customer Satisfaction is Worthless. Customer Loyalty is Priceless. How to Make Customers Love You and Keep Them Coming Back and Tell Everyone They Know. That's the full title. It's the longest title on the band.
Wow, that is a mouthful. Yes.
It is. I bought mine at a Barnes & Nobles for $30. So long ago, there were still Barnes & Nobles in the world.
we have a few here in Michigan still.
Yeah, it's cheaper on Amazon, I'm sure. But it's great. Other than that, online resources. Follow my buddy Skip at Skip Cohen University.
Skip is awesome.
Follow him on Twitter. He's everywhere. You can't not find Skip. Photo Focus is a good show. Mm-hmm. Listen to that podcast. I bounce around between those kind of things, but people is what I always come back to. Real people who you can call and have friendships with. That's where the rubber meets the road on that.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, this has been great. I'm sadly on my final question for you, but it's one of the most important. Tell us where we can find you online.
Okay. Well, you can find me. The studio's website is silvart.com. You can find me on Twitter at Brent Watkins, if that's convenient for folks. I'm not a big Twitter. I will not flood your tweet stream. Don't worry. But you can message me there. Email me, brent@silvart.com. Do a lot of stuff in the business, and it's all good things. We have projects and stuff coming out. I do a little mentoring. I'm involved with a software project. There's a lot of stuff.
Exciting. Well, awesome, Brent. Just thank you so much for chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, Shamira. It was a pleasure being here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.